thank you. This is the December 6th meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee, calling to order at 8:43 p.m. And Michael, would you like to read the list and take attendance?
Okay.
Can you do that where you want? Thank you.
Sure. Not alphabetically, but just as it's on this agenda. Manija Sala. Not here yet. Tracy Rosenberg. Not here yet. Margie Wilkinson. I heard again. I'm just still there. Margie?
Yes, I said I was here. Sorry.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, Margie Murray. Not here yet. Michael Elizabeth, myself. I'm here. Anthony Fest. Not here yet. Kevin White. Not here. Carolyn Burden is here.
Carolyn.
Nancy, tell me, is here. Kimberly Orndorff. Not here yet. Leslie Bethune.
Here.
Is here. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Is here. Jane, I'm sorry, what's your last name?
Gatewood, like a wooden gate.
Okay, present. And then we also have a work group volunteer. I think Bill Crozier is here.
Yes.
Ted Aaron. Bruce Wolf. No. Jamie Ross. No. I believe we have seven, which is a quorum.
Thank you.
Did you say Nancy?
What's that?
Did you call my name? I'm sorry,
yeah.
I didn't hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Margie, myself, Carolyn, Nancy, Leslie, Bob, and Jane.
Thank you. We have request for two excused absences. Let's see, Anthony Fest cannot be here, and Margie said she could not be here either. So those two, any objections to excusing them from the meeting? No objections, then we'll consider them excused. I'm trying to bring up my, excuse me. My copy here. I think I may have. Can you hold on for 1 minute? The next item on the agenda is the agenda. I forgot to put agenda approval on the agenda, but that is the next item. And I think we need to look at that and see if there is anything on there you'd like to change. I asked for a closed session at 10 o'clock. I don't know if that's too late, but there's an awful lot on the agenda.
Can we move into it earlier if we get through everything sooner?
Oh, we can always do it at that, yes. It's just later that we can't do it.
Bob. Have a time certain.
This is Bob.
Yes, Bob?
Yeah. As far as the closed session, I know you gave a reason on the listserv, but I see no reason why you shouldn't tell the public what the reason is. You don't have to name any individual, but just the general topic that we'll be discussing. There's nothing confidential about that.
I haven't read the agenda. You're right. I put down e-balloting issues, vendor queries, communications, and issues mostly relating to vendors. Some of those I put on the open agenda, but a few I thought had to be on the closed agenda. So that is what those issues are. Just questions that vendors might want to keep confidential.
Right, and I think we just have to be careful that when we get into that discussion, or even maybe you could keep in mind as you're chairing the open discussion, that there should be nothing said in that discussion that could apply to any vendor. If somebody's saying, you know, what's your policy on X? Well, it's a general policy, and that's a public discussion. I mean, if they say our company can only do such and such, okay, that's a confidential thing. But if it's just asking what we think of a general, you know, should a vendor be able to do X, I think that should be a public discussion.
It should, except in some cases, vendors And I'm mindful that one year we had a vendor who was adamant that everything in the proposal be embargoed, that none of it should be discussed or posted anywhere. Some of the question itself might come from a vendor, and the other vendor might recognize it, or the vendors, you know, looking to put in proposals, we have several at this point, might look at it as an issue that and understand where it came from, and that might not be a good idea. So I'd like to keep anything that might be identifiable in closed session. And everything else, your point is well taken, should be open. Okay, should we leave it at 10 o'clock and hope we get there earlier? Certainly don't want to make it any later than that. Anything else on the agenda that we need to look at or change before we approve it?
So just for the audience, we have database and e-balloting work group, 20 minutes. Action item report, no particular time assigned to that.
Oh, I didn't. Yes, how much time do you think we should give? I didn't put a time down. You're right. I forgot about that.
So work group regarding e-balloting issues, and that's different from the first item? How is work group on e-balloting different from the first item, Carolyn? Database and e-balloting.
I think that was your draft RFP. You wanted that on the agenda specially.
Okay.
So I gave that its own item. That was an action item.
Draft RFP. Okay, Margie, timetable for election processes, taking into consideration fund drives if possible. Carolyn and Michael, outline of campaign.
Harry Bridges Institute.
I'm sorry, who is this, please? Somebody on the phone?
No.
We can hear a conversation going.
Sorry.
If you can mute yourself, it's all right. Go ahead, Jan. Item 5.
So then item 5, timetable for election process. Item 6, Michael and Carolyn asked for outline of campaign to raise awareness of elections, network membership, and staff. And then it looks like the third section was new business, motion regarding expert volunteers and work groups. Didn't we deal with that last time? Yeah, we voted. We approved that last meeting.
Did we approve that last meeting as it's written here?
I
didn't have the... I didn't.
That was approved last meeting.
Okay, I didn't check the minutes. That's good. All right, fine.
Okay, and...
So we'll take that right out, huh?
Then you have approval of volunteers,
approval
of proposals template. I'm not sure about that. Report to PMB 12-8, updated prior report to include motion regarding volunteers and work group timelines, queries from a vendor. So you want to be sure to get to cover the what you want to cover in the report during our open session? Is that what you mean by that, Carolyn?
Yes. I want to put that motion in. Timelines, if we can get them. Obviously, Margie's not here, so we can't. And the report on the fund drive dates. That just came in early. Did you get that, by the way, Jane? If you didn't get one, you probably didn't get the other. Did you get...
No, I didn't get anything else.
Okay, I will send that out to you right now.
Mm-hmm. Move to approve. Agenda.
Bob.
Yes, Bob.
I just want to make sure we have enough time for the RFP because that's a very lengthy document, and it's quite crucial that we move it forward as quickly as possible so we don't blow the deadline. So I don't know, maybe half an hour, 40 minutes or something, because I think we should really go over it in detail.
Did we not put a time handle on that?
I don't see a time listed.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't put times on these. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that that is a long piece, but I don't want to cut everything else short. I suspect we're going to refer that to a subgroup. And as I said earlier, one of the issues is that we have some questions coming through that we'll have to settle. Some of them after the closed session, so this may not be ready for approval tonight. We may have to look at it and do one more revision before we approve it. So So 30 minutes would be good for that. That's an hour and it's an hour and 20 minutes. All right, let's put 20 minutes down for that, because I have a feeling that we need to get to other things. Is 20 minutes all right?
Okay.
Thank you. We'll have to go over that anyway. Thank you. All right, that's fine. Any other changes or objections, questions? All right, then the agenda is approved. Thank you. We don't have minutes tonight, I assume. Finished minutes, Michael?
I thought the last notes we had were from Jane for the...
Yes, I didn't think that... I didn't know if you and she were working together or... you wanted to just run over those and format them and send them through. All right, when you have a chance, we'll look at those.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. And the next meeting, first Tuesday in January, January 3rd. That's rather close to New Year's. Is that all right with everyone to leave it at that? Any objections to January 3rd? All right. January 3rd it is. A special order for 10 p.m. On vendor issues, including e-balloting issues, vendor queries, communications from vendors, and one or two other issues. That's a closed session at 10. I believe we've already talked about that. Now, old business, first item there is database and e-balloting work group. We've allotted 20 minutes for that, and it's 8:55. The first item is data about list protocols. I can give a little report. Thank you, Jane, for having, I forget whose name it was who contacted me.
Tiffany, and I'm going to tell you,
yes.
It's not it is totally not right, but go ahead.
Well, there's the bad news. The good news was that Tiffany contacted me with a report from WPFW. I wrote back to her. She gave me the name. I asked her what system they had used to do the deduping, and she sent me back the name of a company. When I looked at it, they have two different methods of deduping. One of them is the NCOA scan, and the other is another method I didn't have time to investigate. So I don't know which exact method. I know which company she used. What is your take on that?
Well, my concern is that, to my knowledge, we haven't actually done a recent mailing to all of our members. So I kind of question how they could be doing a complete, actually doing the complete cleanup as specified, if there hasn't been a mailing to the complete membership list. That's my only question. But right now, we can just kind of put that aside. I think the rest of the network has bigger problems with their mailing list than WPFW. So I have my personal reasons for being troubled by that. But I think in the grand scheme of things, it's not as big as some of the other stations that have bigger membership lists.
I do not know if the NCOA scan requires a mailing. They may do it all on the database.
Okay.
That's a good question. Do you want to look at that?
I think you're supposed to do it before you do a mailing, actually. If you do a mailing with a permit, they ask you to verify that you've done the update and correction before you do the mailing.
So it doesn't require a mailing itself. Okay. Well, I'll inquire of Tiffany exactly what method they used, and I'll pass that along to the other GMs, because all I get from one or two other GMs, who shall remain nameless, is we're fine. Don't worry.
I'm going to be getting off for a couple of minutes. As I said, I'll be back on.
Okay, Michael. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, so I will continue to inquire of various, if you all want to ask at your own stations and report back, that, as Jane did, that would be really helpful, because I can't always connect with people, but I'll keep on trying to find out. Item number two, the checklist was a checklist that I drew up for the general managers and for the executive director for list maintenance and also for information that had to do with to the stations. I mixed both items on the checklist. Maybe that was not a good idea. But there was a checklist, and Jane, did you get that?
No.
Uh-oh. Okay. There we go again. I'll send that to you. The checklist was more or less in chronological order. Let me see with that. And I can't ask you to read it for me, can I? Without having it. Okay.
This is Bill. I'm forwarding some stuff to Jane that you sent us earlier today.
Yeah, I think I'm seeing something that has a title draft of checklist for the ED. Carolyn
yes,
wrote,
right.
You may recall, ED asked for a checklist of items to use in working with GMs and stations for the elections.
Now, when is that dated? Because I sent out two. The
yesterday.
Second one is a little... Okay, the new one is a little better formatted.
Okay.
And I think that's the one that's coming. It's also titled Checklist for Station Elections Prep. I broke it up into three sections. The first is what the national office should do, and the second is what should be done between now and June 15th by the general managers, I said, even though, of course, they can delegate. And then the last section was after the nominations open and during the nominations period from June 1st to July 1st up until ballots are mailed. So we may want to rearrange these items, and you could certainly add or subtract. For the benefit of people listening on the stream, I will read that out. The national office should, I have five items. A, develop a system of membership numbers, not social security numbers, for each member of Pacifica to use for the e-balloting and membership info. I said that because I have no idea if every member of Pacifica has a distinct individual membership number. B, issue separate clear directives about anything related to the elections with target dates and checkups. C, create and distribute a booklet available with uniform instructions for the local election supervisors about their duties, pay, penalties, rights, obligations, and contact information that they will need. D was to create a hotline attached to the Pacifica.org elections website, but also advertised independently for members to call in with questions, email changes, and so on, one central hotline number. And E, to appoint someone to be in charge of social media use during the elections, for the elections, nationally as well as locally, to coordinate announcements and so on that go out over Twitter and Facebook and whatever. Second section was, between now and June 15th, each GM should develop plans, including target dates for start and completion, to implement the following. Number one, use the USPS NCOA scan at least once before March, post office NCOA scan, and again before the date of record, June 15th, to clear the databases of duplicates. Two, to utilize any new software or patches or changes authorized by MEMSIS or the National Election Supervisor to further clean the lists. Three, to create a database or the ability to create one instantly of working email addresses for all members, both paid and volunteer staff, as well as listeners. Four was to mail, notify, post on the website, announce on the air the necessity for members to notify the station of working email addresses, include a special telephone extension and self-addressed stamped envelope with the NCOA scan mailings, that means the ones done after the scan, or both of them, for listeners to return updated email and postal information with or without a donation. Write a letter from the GM explaining the new voting process.
What are you talking about? I don't even understand what you're talking about, Carolyn. I'm sorry.
I'm talking about things that should be done by the general managers, probably. This one was to mail or notify, post on the website, or announce on the air the necessity for members, in other words, urging the members to notify the station of working email addresses, And I'm suggesting that in that there should be a special telephone extension and a self-addressed stamped envelope with these two mailings that are required for listeners to return with that self-addressed stamped envelope, updated email and postal information, whether or not they're donating to the station, because that'll probably go out with a donation letter. And then to write a letter from the general manager explaining the new voting process. That was all number four. Maybe I should have broken it up some more. Number five.
Question. What is the new voting process that you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Well, if we're using electronic balloting, that would be a new voting process.
Right, that's if. But that decision hasn't been made yet, but you've written it here as if it's a fait accompli.
I did, yes. Write a new letter, Well, let's go over this and we can modify it as we go.
Well, you know, the thing is that these kind of things sound like things that I thought we were hoping to get some professional help with in the way, and that's why we were trying to get an RFP out there to see if we couldn't actually contract with a management company with some experience in elections. And I would think that I don't have that list in front of me, so it's difficult for me to really process. I don't even know what the title of that list was, really.
Well, you didn't get this list?
No.
I just sent it out to you again.
No,
check your email? Sometimes things come a little...
No, I haven't, but that's okay,
right,
because, I mean, I'll enjoy looking it over, but the point is that what I'm hearing you saying is that these are things that you envision the ED instructing the general managers to do? Did I understand that?
Yeah, if you remember when the ED was on the call and we talked about cooperation and getting the general managers to help with the elections.
Those are not things that I envision asking our GM or other stations asking their MGMs. I mean, I see checklist number two now, Carolyn. Thank you. But I don't get it. I just don't get it because most of what I hear you reading are things that I thought we were actually expecting to get to get better help from skilled national election supervisors.
Well, let me finish reading the list, but you're right about that. On the other hand, one of the things I want to discuss with you is the division of labor here, which may be a little differently than we had hoped for or envisioned. And I suspect cost is going to enter into it. Whoever does these things, I'm suggesting that this is a checklist that the ED might want to use. And now it may be that this list will be to organize or coordinate the work of an outside company. Be that as it may, this list, we can go over that later, but if I may finish it for people listening on the stream. I lost my space. Number five. All right. Collect the data for vetting by the national office and the national supervisor, and when hired, the local supervisor for each staff member. Excuse me, that's a typo there. Should be singular. Each staff member, paid and unpaid. Name, contact information, hours worked according to union regulations or the bylaws, program affiliation. Target dates to be set in consultation with the national office, the national supervisor, and the local supervisor. Number six, create the protocols and name the one or more persons responsible for implementing protocols for PDAs related to the election process and database integrity. This person is the liaison between the NES and LES and the station management. Seven, use the elections as creatively as possible to advertise the process and encourage listeners to become members or renew memberships before the date of record, which is June 15th. Include mention of the elections in every communication with listeners, newsletters, email blasts, fundraisers, and PSAs. And I gave an example of that. Number eight, create website information and material in conjunction with national information on Pacifica.org on an easily located governance page. Number nine, identify office space for the local supervisors and arrange for access to copying phone computer use 24/7 and include the local supervisor in the telephone directory. And then the last four items were for implementation after nominations open. 10 is updating of the staff and listener databases, which should be ongoing. No new names can be added, but the name should be rechecked. Social media and hotlines should be used to ask for and collect updates on email and postal addresses. 11 is arrange for on-air PDAs as required by the national local supervisors and the bylaws for this campaign period, working out a satisfactory schedule that takes into account the fund drive, special events, and on-air forums of candidates as required by the bylaws.
Excuse me, what's a PDA?
I'm sorry, did I misspeak? PSA and PDA. I think I meant a PSA. Program. What is it? What does that stand? It's a cart that announces what?
That's a PSA.
PSA. Thank you. Typo. Thank you very much. And 12, develop advertising of candidate forums. Wherever possible, use the fact of elections for fundraising whenever possible. And 13, encourage members to attend events, ask questions, get involved. Use newsletters, PSAs, excuse me again, not PDA, and reports to the listeners on the air. So that was the checklist of what I saw as what needed to be done, probably for the ED's use, but also for our own. Now, do we want to divide that, pick at it? I know we have not formally, but I think we have to understand that if we're going to hire an outside company, we probably are going to be using some sort of electronic balloting. Is that an issue we want to take up formally for any reason?
This is Jane.
Jane? Mm-hmm.
To answer your first question, what to do with this list, I think that some of the questions I have about this list we're going to get into if we do start discussing a draft RFP, and that would also address the second question you just asked. But I personally think that this list should be assigned to a work group. I don't understand exactly why it came under the heading of database and e-balloting work group, but I do think that this is a good checklist. I mean, I see where some of these things are things that between the general manager and the program manager, they need to cooperate with the election process. So I do think this list should be cleaned up, but I just wonder if it couldn't be tasked to a work group to refine this list as we move through the process of attempting to possibly get an outside vendor to provide management services for us, and whether or not that works out, kind of figuring out which of these things really do fall directly under the National Election Supervisor job description and which just need to stay on this list the way that you've organized it in terms of a checklist for the station management.
Well, I hate to say this, but this is more or less should have been the result of a work group. Michael and I were supposed to get together, and we've had a series of miscommunications and somehow have not gotten together. So I decided, since it was on the agenda, it was on an action item for last meeting, I decided to get something out, and that was, I'm glad you suggested that, to give to a work group. Now, if you want to give it back to Michael and me, that's fine. If you want to, you know, expand the group,
what did it have to do with the database?
I think we'd combine. No, it was a different. You're right. I put that. I think we'd combined the groups at one point, and then there was a separate list for Michael and me. And I think maybe that should not have been there on the agenda under the database and e-balloting. We combined both of those.
It was actually RFP and e-balloting, and database was separate. So we had, in previous meetings, we talked about an RFP and e-balloting work group as one work group and a database integrity work group as a different work group. And this particular list, while it seems valuable, it doesn't seem related to, I don't see how it relates to those things. But
Okay, well, maybe you're right. So maybe, all right, then it should not be here under this part of the agenda. Do we want to kick it over to some other people to refine or put it aside until we go over the RFP issue?
Sounds good to me.
Any other thoughts on this for anyone else?
This is Bob.
Bob?
Yeah, that's probably a good way to handle it. I also just wanted to throw in a couple of factual things just to keep in mind when the work group looks over it in detail. The date of record, according to the 2007 amendment of the timetable, is now variable. It's from 45 to 60 days before the ballot mailing date. So, in other words, it's no longer fixed at June 15th, but it's subject to the discretion of the NES, so it can be anywhere from June 15th to June 30th. So just make sure you correct that in there.
What was the reason for that?
To look at the on-the-ground situation with practical issues to see if they felt ready to, if they felt like they needed more time or whatever. So, that's the bylaws. For whatever reason, that's what it says. So each election since then, the NES has chosen a later date. So that's probably, I would imagine, that may happen again this year. So that would make it June 30th. So just to nip any confusion in the bud when this document eventually is done and goes out to the GMs, we don't want to give them a firm date that, in fact, is not firm. That's one thing. And then the other thing is that I think we need to reiterate, and maybe when Michael comes back, he could find the minutes of the meetings where we discussed e-voting, because I very strongly recall that we said we have not decided as a committee what our view on e-voting is, and we need to do more investigation, more research, and learning the pros and cons, and that after we've done that, then we will come up with a recommendation. But any idea that this is kind of already a given is way, way premature and may not happen at all this year, or may happen in some very pilot form or something in between. We don't know. So we shouldn't be writing any documents that suggest that this decision has been made when it hasn't been.
We may be the only people who don't think it's going to be happening in some form or another, because I know that people are looking at it as a possible way of saving money, which is my major objective in looking at that, and also of encouraging voting. For those two reasons, I think, alone, we should really push to get it done. But if we want a formal recommendation, I think you're right, we may need to vote on that in a formal way. And perhaps after we look at develop our RFP and get some responses, get some proposals, we may have firmer thoughts on that. All right, good points. The next item, on any other comments on this before we move on to number four? Or is it three? The staff registry progress report. All I have to say on that is that we have... Hello? Someone come on? We have...
Kimmery joining the call.
Oh, hi, Kimmery.
Hello.
Glad to have you. We're just going over the agenda, and we're under old business looking at the staff registry progress report under item one. And that is... The only thing I have to report on that is that... Otis and John are working on that, refining the coding and so on, and their target date is January 1st for the electronic registration for the staff. That's all I have to report on that. So I don't know if anyone has any questions, but that's where that is. Any comments on that or questions? Okay, number two, the action item reports. The work group on the e-balloting, that is the draft RFP that Jane did. We have 20 minutes for that. Does everybody have a copy of that in front of them?
Excuse me, Madam Chair, is there a copy of the agenda?
Yes, I sent it out to you. Do you have it in your email?
I'm just weeded all of my emails down to 524 out of 4,000, so I'm doing good today. So I'm feeling
We're
good.
Back. Yeah. I did send one out right before the meeting, about 10 or 12 minutes before the meeting.
Okay. I've sorted all your emails, so let me go to your folder. Okay. Give me one second. Okay.
Do you want me to walk through do you want me to walk through what's here and just pause for questions and comments?
Yes, why don't you go ahead? Does everybody have a copy in front of them that's marked up in yellow? That would help a little bit. Anybody who doesn't have a copy, we can send it right away. All right, why don't you go ahead then, Jane, and walk through it.
Okay, so first of all, there was a document that was sent after I started this. I think it was something that Bob forwarded to assist. So initially, I got two documents from Bill Crozier. I got the RFP and then the supplemental information about the job descriptions for the NES and LES. And all of the information from those two documents I distilled down into this one document. But there, this third document called an RFP for an NES, that actually has a lot of details in it that are very, very informative, but I didn't have time to go through that to see how that information might fit into here. But it was my understanding that in 2009 there was a request sent out to vendors that allowed them to propose basically either supervisory functions alone, which is items 1 and 2 on the checklist that starts on page 2, more or less allowing vendors to propose to serve as our NES and to provide their in-house LES, local election supervisors, so that we would actually have professionals doing those jobs on a contract basis for us within the confines, within the requirements of our bylaws. Or the second, the balloting and tabulation functions, more or less the everything to do with balloting and tabulation, which if you read, as you get into the documents that were written, it was stated that those functions, more or less, the balloting and tabulation fell under the responsibilities of our NES. So in my reading of it, it was a little bit contradictory, saying that you can propose to provide services for items 1 and 2 alone, or items 3 through whatever alone. It was originally 17 alone, or for all the items, because the balloting and tabulation functions, it was stated elsewhere in the documents that those pretty much fall under the NES. So with that, that's the overarching question that I had in my mind as I worked on this outline. So page 1 of the draft, I brought to your attention, in the past we stated we have approximately 95,000 members nationwide. I don't know if that number has remained the same. On or about March 1st, 2010, Pacifica will begin a process that will involve 10 separate elections. Members in 4 of its 5 radio station signal areas will elect 9 listener delegates and 3 staff delegates. I'm bringing to your attention that WPFW did not have quorum, so it's my understanding that WPFW will once again be electing 18 listener member delegates and 6 staff delegates. So we're currently soliciting proposals for qualified election management firms to provide all or some of the services related to these elections, as detailed in items 1 through whatever on the pages that follow, and we're inviting organizations to submit a proposal by January 31st, 2012 for, as it's currently conceived, supervisory functions alone, balloting and tabulation functions alone. They're all items. We would also appreciate a response if you decline to submit a proposal. Election processes must adhere to our bylaws, blah, blah, blah. Pacifica Foundation's Elections Committee will evaluate proposals. That's a question I have. Is it the committee that will evaluate them, or will it be the ED? In any case, the evaluations will be, the proposals will be evaluated on a qualitative basis, et cetera. Past elections have been primarily via paper ballot. Your ability to advise Pacifica on processes to transition to election balloting, as detailed in one of the enclosures, may improve your chances for selection. So my question, I guess the big question on this page, is it were there any non-paper balloting in the last election, or were they all paper ballots?
All paper.
That's the first. That's a question I have.
Yeah. No, there was no electronic balloting.
Okay, so past elections have been via paper balloting.
Yes.
Not primarily, totally. Okay. All right. So,
can I just bring up a small wording thing?
Yes,
go ahead.
Okay. Where it says qualified election management firms, I think we should not suggest that it's only open to not to for-profits, but also nonprofits. So either say firms and nonprofits or say organizations.
Does firms always imply for profit?
That's my understanding of the word. Yeah, firm is a company.
Mm-hmm.
Well, organization sounds like a fine word.
Yeah. So then League
That's
of Women
good.
Voters or whoever, you know, groups like that be feel welcome to apply.
All right, good change. Uh-huh.
So... the rest of the document, just, I mean, we can cover a little more details on this outline, but page 2 basically summarizes supervisory function. Page 3 and 4 were with everything I found in terms of balloting and tabulation in those two documents, and then page 5 of this is just what we were expecting to be included in the proposal. So before we look at the other pages, I just want to know, on this page 1, is this essentially what we would like to go out? How soon can we get this out? What kind of approval would it need? I feel, in my way of looking at it, everything that we really need to decide on is on this first page.
Well, yes, you're probably right. I haven't looked at it from that point of view. I think maybe after we discuss some of the questions that have come up from vendors and then discuss the electoral ballot, e-balloting as opposed to paper balloting issues, we might want to, you know, revisit that. But you're right. The term balloting covers both of those areas. That's true.
Question, Bill, if I can make a comment.
Bill?
Mm-hmm. When we went through this 2 years ago, we had, I believe, a similar deadline, January 31st, for the proposals, and it was really tough to go through all of them, review them, meet, interview the finalists, and make a recommendation before March, because by March 1st, the NES should be hired and starting to work. So we have very little time right now
that's one thing I was wondering is, can we actually say we want Arlene to, I mean, we get all of the proposals, but can we then just have her make the decision?
Well, the bylaws say the ED selects the NES. So
right.
That's probably right. The ED probably could do that, but probably should get a legal opinion.
Because I'm thinking that the amount of work to evaluate them is just mind-boggling. I wasn't involved with it last time, but I would.
The committee probably should still help with that. and
right.
they
I mean,
coordinate.
We could
be our job, essentially. I think that's what we should be doing.
Right.
And we should give a very firm recommendation to the ED. I suspect that if we keep the ED in the loop between now and then, it won't be a big surprise or to have to do that at that point.
Yeah, this is Bob.
Bob?
Yeah, that's exactly what we did the last time. We, you're right, Jane, it was a mind-blowing amount of work, and the committee was very disciplined, and we buckled down, and we did all the work, and, you know, we went very meticulously, both in the written, reviewing the written submissions, and then having, I guess it was about a 60 to 90-minute interview with each applicant, or with those applicants that passed the first screening. We eliminated some even before the interview, just because their paper submission was just inadequate. But once we got to that stage, you know, yes, we did do interviews, and then we had a preference voting, and then we forwarded our recommendations to the then IED, and unfortunately she rejected everything we recommended. But it was still a good process for us to be the ones to go through it and narrow it down, and then, you know, the ED will do whatever she sees fit as far as, you know, whether she wants to re-interview them or she just, or whatever. But I think the committee should go through that process again.
I think I'm impressed with what your committee did, Bob. And Bill, I think I sent along to everyone a copy of the template that you designed for comparing various proposals. We had looked at that before, and I think the one that the draft that we had developed and that I had sent to Jane, I think, was too detailed. That was an excellent template, and I think we might want to look at that and keep that in mind as a framework for working. But, yes, you did a great job.
Kimberly, can you stack for a second?
Yes, Kimberly.
Who was just speaking in reference to what they submitted to the ED? I just didn't get names. I know how
to
open
it. Sorry, this is Bob Lederer from WBAI.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing? Kimberly from WPFW. What ED did you submit your
that
work
was
to?
That was Great Darren. Great Darren.
Okay.
IED.
So you recommend that we should submit this to Arlene as soon as possible so we can get some type of reaction?
Right.
Okay. I would second. Because anything that is done for the foundation in good faith and anything that is good, that is templated, which, again, the foundation runs off of protocols with 10-5 different signals of 5 different sets of templates of things, of how things are ran. We need to, National has to have, for ED to reject something that would be under a national statute that would fall for all stations. You know, that, and that's our problem in Pacifica now, that there is no central location for any of our, what I would say, peace and harmony documents, you know, things to keep elections together in order. You know, just where we can just say, okay, all stations should follow this coming from the commandments of the national office. And we definitely need an ED that's going to be on board, that's going to adhere to these changes so that it seems like we do have some stabilization at the national office level dealing with these situations, especially with the election, because every year it's just drama with the election process. So I would second anything that we could resend back to a new ED so we could have some type of national office template in place for all stations. And I commend the committee for the work that it's done in the past, because just hearing things be turned away or rejected when people worked hard, when you would have to go out and pay somebody to come in with the same results, doesn't make any sense. So
I appreciate that thought, Kimberly, but Carolyn here, I just want to interject. I do think there were some reasons for not changing over to an outside vendor at that point, partly because the ED was interim, partly because of the lateness of the time and so on. So without knowing all the details, I think as we move forward, we'll do well to keep this current ED in the loop at every moment and really engage her so that she, it's nothing is a surprise at the end. I'm really
now, Carolyn, I don't know what template thing you were talking about. Could you put your hands up, or did it was something Bill sent? Bill, can you maybe forward that template that she was referring to?
Bill had sent a proposal. I labeled it the proposal review template.
No, I don't have that.
And it was.
I'll forward it.
Thank you.
Can you have it? Thank you.
Did somebody new come online?
Michael over got back on.
There's Kimberly going back on. Pound one.
Oh, you're unmuting? Okay, thank you. All right, so back to the survey.
Okay,
Michael, we've just finished reading. Jane went over the draft RFP, and we're discussing
page one.
You know, the steps that we need to be taking, and yes, page one is one of those things.
I had another question for Jane. May I?
Please.
Okay, Jane, I may have misconstrued what you said. Did you say, were you recommending that we just start by publicly posting only the first page?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
I'm saying that for tonight's meeting, because we're short of time, my own feeling is that we need, I really feel like if we're going to get this done in time, we need to come to agreement with the information as outlined on page one.
Oh, okay.
That the details,
I got it.
The details that are on the remaining page, they can be worked out by a work group, and perhaps we can refine it. But if we don't get this out soon, well, no way.
I fully agree.
Felt like page one covers the items that I think we should all be crystal clear on before we leave tonight, and then we can task a work group with trying to fill in the details of the rest of it. That's my own feeling.
Sounds good.
All right. That's not logical.
So the question that I had was, would it be reasonable, given the bylaws say that the ED selects the NES, would it be reasonable once we, in other words, if we screen the pool of applicants and say these people just don't make the cut, in other words, if all we do is say these people are qualified, you know, please interview them, and I mean, I just wonder if it makes sense for us to make the final selection recommendation when the bylaws say the ED should make it. That's the question I'm putting on the table. Should the committee attempt to make a final selection, or should the committee attempt to provide the applicants in a format where we're saying these people seem to be, because there's going to have to be some negotiation in terms of how the foundation is going to interface with these.
Yes, of course.
So that's the question I have, is should the committee attempt to make the final selection, or should the committee instead attempt to provide a pool of qualified vendors with some type of discussion of their strengths and weaknesses, and not attempt to make a final recommendation. That's my question.
Okay. Anybody want to speak to that?
Well,
my own feeling. Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Oh, go ahead.
Own feeling is that it will sort itself out naturally. Either we'll end up with one obvious selection, or we'll have two people with different strengths and weaknesses and present it to the ED, and my next feeling is that finances will have a great deal to do with the final selection. So at this point, it might be premature to worry about that particular question. Bob?
Yeah, I tend to agree with what Carolyn just said. I also think that a third option is that we can invite or even strongly encourage the ED to come on the phone with us when we do the interview, so she may not feel the need to do a second round of individual interviews. I mean, she may want to retain that option, which is fine, but if she has been present for a 60-minute back and forth with the person, then that may be sufficient for her to, you know, I mean, so the committee will still go through its process and still recommend someone, but she will be one step ahead in her process of making a final decision.
Good idea. Thank you. Yes.
So the proposal is that the committee would plan to do interviews as was done in 2009, but and to with the intention of making recommendations.
Give me my phone,
but that the ED would be invited to participate in that stage of the process.
Right. I mean, I agree with Carolyn that we don't need to settle this question tonight. We can just think about what process makes sense. But that's my initial suggestion, sort of my tentative suggestion.
It makes sense to me now you've expressed it like that. So what are the other questions here? What do we have to do? Does the committee need PMB approval before sending out this proposal sending out a proposal to vendors? That's question number one. Does the PMB
My feeling is that we do not, but I don't see that we need approval to send out a proposal. I think that would be our job.
An RFP.
An RFP. At the next stage, you know, inviting the ED in, asking for feedback. But I think as we report to the PNB, we'll get feedback, but I think that would be our job. I mean, our job is essentially to save the board the trouble of doing what the committees are supposed to do.
Okay, so the sense is that the committee is empowered to actually move forward with getting this RFP out.
I believe so. Mm-hmm. Anybody disagree with that? Or? I mean, I don't see why we shouldn't. Do you?
Then today is December 6th. What's the soonest we can get this out realistically?
I'm against sending this out until after, as I said earlier, we have looked at the questions.
Okay. I mean, it's not in any way finished anyway.
No.
I just meant, will the committee need to meet again before it goes out, which is really where I was going. Will the full committee need to meet again, or can a work group be empowered to finalize it and get it out?
I would rather not have a work group finalize it and get it out, but certainly finalize it and get it back to the committee.
Okay, well, then the committee will probably...
I think we need to meet before January 3rd. That's given the holidays, I don't think that's very practical. But if you want to work with a couple of other people after we've gone over some of the questions that we have raised tonight and still have to consider, that would be fine.
So at this point, there's a sense that we would be looking to get this finalized on January 3rd and get it out right then.
That's very ambitious. I hope that that's correct. At least look at a final draft, and if it has to be reworked, give ourselves maybe another week to do that. Does that make sense?
Could we try to schedule a meeting sooner, and then the January 3rd would be the fallback?